disease. Nobody asks, as has occurred with Scott Panetti, to be poorly controlled on medication. During Scott Panetti's life, during the years when he repeatedly sought treatment, he was on some fairly heavy antipsychotic medication, but he still experienced symptoms. Nobody would ask for that. And I think what we're seeing among conservatives, among Christian evangelicals, among many people around the country is that people with serious mental illness who become involved in the criminal justice system are less culpable and therefore deserving of more protection from the system. The system has failed Scott Panetti and his family because it has failed to protect him. It failed to protect him from himself.
Catherine Case, we're going to have to leave it there. Attorney for Scott Panetti, Director of the Texas Defender Service, and Ron Hohnberg, thanks for joining us. National Director of the National Alliance on Mental Illness. That does it for the broadcast. I'm Amy Goodman with Aaron Mate for Democracy Now!
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8:01. Coming up next is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show with our host, Joe Uris. Today, we'll talk about the new regressive Portland street tax.
A global day for giving back. On Tuesday, December 2nd, charities, families, businesses, community centers, and students around the world will come together to celebrate generosity and to give. Go to kboo.fm now and click donate.
KBOO's mini December drive is right around the corner. It will start on Thursday, December 4th and end on Saturday, December 6th. We are looking to raise $20,000 over these 3 days. We're also happy to announce that we have secured a $5,000 match thanks to the generosity of the Juan Young Trust, Vernier Software, SSI Shredding Systems, and the Wendy Foundation. This means if you've never given to KBOO, your donation will be doubled. If you give to us monthly and you give an additional one-time gift, that donation will be matched. If you give more to us this year than last year, then the difference will be matched. You can donate early by going to kboo.fm/give. Thank you for supporting your community radio station, KBOO Portland.
Yeah. Dancing in the streets. Okay, this is KBOO 90.7 FM in Portland, Oregon. This is the Abe and Joe Talk Radio Show. Abe Proctor and Joe Uris. Abe ain't here. Number to call, 231-8187. Now, today we're going to be talking about what may come before the city council for a vote tomorrow, which is a 40, I can't believe this, a 40... Can this be? Yeah, $46 million a year tax on you, an income tax and a business tax. And it's going to be every year, not since sunsetted. I mean, forever, you know, forever in the history city, in the city's history. You know, we all want to dance in the streets, and God knows the streets need help. They are busted, they are broken, they are unsafe. There are all kinds of problems. There's lights that are needed. There's sidewalks that are needed. And if you're living in a poorer neighborhood, if you're living on the east side and parts of the west side, you don't even have a street. You have a mud street. So what to do about that? That's the question. How should it be solved? Well, here's the deal. The mayor, Charlie Hales, and his buddy, it turns out, Steve Novick, want to create a permanent, this is the important part of this, a permanent tax, which would raise $46 million a year. Not quite clear exactly what would be done with all that money. I guess some streets would be paved, some sidewalks would be put in. Would it really make things better, or would just go to kind of like bicycle lanes and amenities, you know, make it a little prettier? It would not be sunsetted. This is important. So what they're planning to do, if they can get Amanda Fritz as their third vote, Nick Fish has indicated he's not interested. He might have been persuaded. Dan Saltzman does not think that this should happen without a vote of the people. That's where they were at as of last week. But here's the deal. This is an income tax, and a tax on businesses. I should say a tax on businesses. I don't know. I don't like this. Here's what I don't like. First of all, I don't like a major change in the tax structure, an income tax, without a vote of the people. I understand city council represents the people, but we didn't vote for these guys with an idea that they'd create $46 million more in revenue out of our pockets. That's number one. Number two, it's not sunsetted. That means that it's forever. Once it's passed, it's forever. You pay this tax every year. And with all that money, with a city which I believe is notoriously unaccountable, it seems to me very dubious indeed. At the very least, it should be submitted to the people for a vote. Now, of course, you know, they don't want to do that because the fluoridation well-intentioned plan, which I didn't like, went down to defeat by the people. The idea here, you know, that's a lot of revenue, and there's no real accountability for it that I've heard so far, no real discussion of exactly how the money would be spent, only that it would be gathered. This is a very dubious matter. And most important, I think, beyond the question of whether the people should have a vote in it, is actually, shouldn't it be sunsetted? Should it be $46 million approximately from all of us, businesses and individuals, forever? Well, I am dubious. And I know the swing vote on this is Amanda Fritz, and she suffered a serious tragedy in which her husband was killed. Largely, I think, because the state hadn't finished a safety plan on I-5. It must be an enormously emotionally difficult thing for her, and my heart goes out to her in this matter. But, I mean, a 3-2 vote to create a permanent $46 million a year, approximately, tax to do maybe streets, maybe sidewalks, maybe more lights, maybe what, bike lanes, pretty little things? I don't know. I want to hear what you think about that. I am really disturbed. This is on the agenda, I believe, for the city council tomorrow. Yeah. So let's hear from you, 231-8187. Now, just so you know, next week we will have a big show on the police, on the question of police accountability and police behavior in Portland. I didn't want to jump into that right now because I didn't have all my ducks in a row. I didn't have enough information to really make a good, incredible show. So let's talk about the street tax, which is now being called, I love this, it's now being called the Portland Street Fund. I really want to hear from you on this. I'm interested, first of all, are people anxious to pay this tax so that the streets would be better? You should know that damage to your automobile from potholes and gravel and so on is real. It costs you money one way or the other. What should be done about this? Now, you should also know that the city has notoriously not expanded its street paving or its sidewalks in both the west side and the east side over the years, even after promises were made verbally that when areas, for example, on the east side were annexed to the city, they would get better facilities, they would get sewers, which did happen and cost people a lot of money, and they would get better streets, which has not yet happened. And I really believe that holding the city council's feet to the fire is crucial in this matter. This is a decision being made in a hurry. This is a decision being made in the kind of a we know what's best for you mode. And it really, really bothers me. The argument is, well, you elected us, so we should be representing you by doing this. Nobody asked me when I voted in the mayoral election or the city council elections whether or not I wanted the city council to increase my taxes or anyone else's taxes. This is a hardship for some people, a real hardship. And it's not just nickeling and diming, although we've seen that with the $35 tax for the arts. I could tolerate tax for the arts. Okay, it's a small or relatively small sum. But this is a biggie. This is a very, very big measure. I want to hear from you on it, pro or con, 231-8187. Who do we got? Eddie, you're on the air.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to bounce around here. Forgive me, I haven't slept much, but I'm going to try to cut to the quick with some high points.
Okay.
Of course we should vote on it. This is ridiculous. Another thing, we don't need any more new streets or new sidewalks because they can't even maintain what they got. And I also heard that off of some, actually a conservative talk show host in Portland, I'm not going to say his name, but he does tell the truth sometimes, I think, forgive me because I don't know exactly, I don't remember exactly what he said.
That's okay, go ahead.
Somewhere around 40% of this money, roughly from memory, will be used for what they say they're going to use it for, and 60% of it will be used for, you know, off doing other things, like, and part of it would be for paying the people to collect the money from us. But I mean, this guy was saying that, yeah, there's only going to be, you know, like roughly 40% or something to be used for what they're saying they're going to. And this is getting shoved down people's throats, and it's unnecessary.
Well,
voting on it.
Well, I don't know whether it's necessary or not. That's a different question than whether the process and the tax are right. I don't disagree in large part with your reaction to it. I don't think it's as bad as 40% only going to the streets. I understood that more than half would be going to street repairs and street maintenance and development of sidewalks and roads. But that doesn't mean that it's cool. It doesn't mean that it's right. It doesn't mean that it's fair. It doesn't mean that it's, I'm going to make it rhyme here, that it's bright. I want to thank you for the call, man.
All right, brother.
Take care.
Bye-bye.
All right. So what we're talking about is the proposed tax, which may be voted on by the city council tomorrow. The swing vote, it could be a 3-2 decision. Apparently, Nick Fish and Dan Saltzman are not wanting to support it without a vote of the people, apparently. That means that essentially the advocates for it, which are the mayor and Steve Novick, together with, and here's where the swing vote is, with Amanda Fritz, who has recently, you know, seen the value of having better and safer highways, will be able to make this decision for all of us. This is an income tax. I want to emphasize, this is an unusual thing in Portland, an income tax, as well as a tax on businesses, and it will be forever. It's not sunsetted. Let's be clear. Sunsetting means that you if you have the tax after, let's say, 5 years, $46 million every year for 5 years, the thing fades, and then you have to either vote for it again or the council, presumably, can reinstate it. I personally, and I have a very clear position on this, think that this needs a vote of the people, number one. And number two, whatever happens, it should be sunsetted. To give the city all that money without any oversight that I consider serious really annoys me, scares me, and makes me very angry. I want to know what you think. I could be wrong. Let's hear from you, 231-8187. Don, you're on the air.
Good morning. I agree with you 100%. It should be put to a vote, and also it should be sunsetted. The city and the county and the state doesn't spend the money that they have very well at all. They blew $300 million on the Columbia River crossing.
Oh, who could forget that? Right.
I mean, $300 million, okay? And then let's talk about the Cover Oregon debacle. I mean, what was that, $200 million?
Yeah, that was less the state's fault than the people who promised to deliver on it, I think. But still.
Well, that's true. Okay, but still, the end result was nil, nothing. Okay.
Yeah.
And so that's $500 million that they blew. Now they're asking for $47 million a year.
Mm-hmm. I think it's 46, no. But, you know, let's not quibble over 46. $1 million.
Right. I mean, because, you know, we're friends here.
Yeah, right. We're all friends. I'll take $1 million.
Right. So my suggestion to everybody listening to this radio program is to call Amanda Fritz and say, no. Do not vote for this. If you want to get reelected again, don't vote for this. And I've also heard that there is a group of people out there that if they do try to pass this within the city chambers, that they will get a petition going immediately. And it should be put to a vote.
I believe just like the fluoridation measure, it will be there will be a petition drive. The fluoridation opposition gathered the signatures they needed with room to spare in 30 days.
Oh yeah,
and this will probably be the same sort of thing.
Right, exactly. And you know, times are tight. I know I haven't gotten a raise in a long time, but you know, TriMet gives their CEO this huge raise and. The mayor and the city commissioners, and they all get their 3% raises a year. We're not the people. We, the people, are not made of money. They're squeezing every last ounce or penny out of us that they can. And I, for one, am sick and tired of being taxed. So that's all I have.
Okay,
thank you for your program. I really enjoy it.
Okay, thank you very much, and I appreciate your opinion. Now, I would like to hear from people who disagree with that position, although the caller and I pretty much share our views. I do want to hear from everybody. 231-8187. This is about I love the way they've rephrased it, the Portland Street Fund. Who do we got? Sandy.
Hi.
Hi.
So I'm really puzzled because I always believed that the reason that we don't have a sales tax, for instance, is that it is unconstitutional in Oregon to add a new tax without the vote of the people. So I'm just totally befuddled on why they are even able to propose this without a vote.
You know, I don't know the answer to that, Sandy.
I'd like to hear from somebody who understands the law on this, because that's been, you know, one of the reasons that tax reform is so difficult in this state, is that anything, that was my understanding, that like if the legislature wanted to make our tax system better, deal with the results of Measure 5 in some way, they have to put it to a vote, and that is so difficult. They avoid it. Anyways, that's all I really have to say.
I appreciate the call, and I think that's an interesting question. I don't know the law. Perhaps someone does and will be willing to call us with it. I went into this just out of anger, frankly. I am offended that these... I don't want to be rude. I don't want to be rude, but these goonies on the city council seem to think that they know better than any of us, that they can make a ruling, a decision that can cost us actual out-of-pocket funds as an income tax and affect businesses as well with taxation that can be enormous. And by the way, the city would have to pay the bulk of this because it turns out the city has the largest amount of property involved. It's all very weird. It's all an unclear measure. And it's all, as far as I can see, being shoved down our throats. I am hoping that Amanda Fritz reconsiders the measure. She will be the swing vote. I am assuming that Dan Saltzman will hold his position and that Nick Fish will hold their position and say, let's have a vote of the people on this. But this is something that obviously, to me, needs a vote of the people with a reasonable discussion of the advantages and disadvantages. Moreover, Two other things. I want to see a list of exactly what they're going to do with the money. I mean exactly. Which streets will be repaired? Which streets will be paved? Which sidewalks will be built? This is real money stuff, and I want to see the real list. I'm willing to read it, even if it's pages, pages, pages long. And I think every one of us should take a look at that. I think that's what needs to be discussed. And then there's this. Why is it not sunsetted? Why are we going to dump $46, $47 million on the taxpayers forever? Forever. That's a lot of money. I want to hear from you. If you disagree, I want to hear from you especially, because you know where I'm at. 231-8187. LJ, oh, good old LJ. How you doing?
Hey, Joe. How you been?
I've been good.
Oh, good deal. You've been a good boy. Good. I'm going to tell your mom. All right. Here's the deal, man. As we all know, infrastructure in cities are absolutely crumbling.
Yes.
They're absolutely in shambles, right? Bridges and bridges collapsing, yada, 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 yada. And something has to be done about it, right? And unfortunately, the federal government is spending money that we should be getting for infrastructure on some other stupid war, et cetera.
Uh-huh. Right?
My problem, Joe, is that what happens to us senior citizens, I'm 75 now, who don't have an income?
Oh, right? You don't have to pay the tax. Just be clear.
Yeah, I know. So can we just make that clear?
Yeah.
Because this can really panic some senior citizens who are just making it on their Social Security.
Well, yeah. Let's be clear. My understanding is that retirement monies from the state, Social Security monies, et cetera, will not be part of the income counted to what you'll have to pay.
And I just want to throw that out there for some senior citizens who think that they have to pay the R tax. They don't have to pay the R tax. They can be exempt from the R tax if they send in a form showing that they have no income.
Okay, I'm really glad you called with those ideas, and I'm glad you reminded us to remind people that if you're on a fixed income, it depends on the very specifics of that, but if you have a 401k or whatever retirement monies that come to you, those I believe are taxable, but not PERS, not Social Security.
Okay, Joe, thanks a whole lot.
Sure.
Keep on keeping on, my brother.
Thank you. All right, I want to hear from people. I haven't really heard anyone say, hey, we need this, let's do it. I would welcome such a call. Otherwise, we can all vent, and it's not a bad idea. And I would urge anybody who's opposed to this to not only make their feelings known on the telephone and on the email, but also to go down to city council on tomorrow. And if that's on the agenda, give them a taste of your feelings. 231-8187. Linda, you're on the air.
Yeah, hi, Joe. I think one thing that you haven't mentioned that is, for me, the most important downside of this tax is that it's a flat tax. That means it hits every individual the same, whether you make $100 a month or $100,000.
But it is an income tax. That is,
it's not based on your income. It's a flat tax. And the only people off are people who have what you were describing. And for me, I'm on Social Security, and I have an IRA, but that IRA will not last me more than another 5 to 7 years.
Uh-huh.
And yet I will be charged this tax as I was the ART tax. And so until I'm all the way broke, you know, like, so I can't live at all because my Social Security is beneath even my rent, I still get to pay these taxes, and
well,
so does everybody else in my position. Hold on.
Yeah.
And it's a flat tax. We have made a principle in this country of not attempting to tax people proportionate to the worth of their value. But this has not done that. It's a flat amount no matter what, and it's every individual in the household. So does every business, they get to pay one, but if I live with five people, we pay five? Yes, that's the way it's written, and it's a really bad idea. No flat taxes, period.
Well, I'm not sure it's a flat tax. I think since it's an income tax, it would be based on your income.
It's not. So if you ask, if you read it, it's a set amount, period. One set amount, like the art tax.
I'm not sure that's right. But
I believe that was correct. Either way you look at it, this is hitting individuals who are, for example, I know a fellow person from KBOO who had their rent raised $150 this month in one jump. My daughter had her rent raised $150 in one jump. These are people who cannot afford to pay one more cent of tax.
Well, what you just said is very important to understand. If you're a renter,
you're being driven out of the city.
Yeah, and you will. Your landlord can't afford to absorb the cost. She or he will raise your rent.
And they're already raising it to get you out so that they can get the higher income people out. One complex of 600 is raising it at $150 a month.
Wow.
We are being forced out of the city as we pay for the streets. Doesn't make much sense. Makes me pretty bitter.
Okay, well, I'm really glad to hear from you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. So far, I'm not hearing anybody. Of course, nobody likes taxes, but I'm really not hearing somebody who, in a measured and rational way, sees this street fee, as they're calling it, as a legitimate thing for the city council to be doing. I want to emphasize that this is done. This is, to my mind, taxation without true representation. We did not elect Charlie Hales. We did not elect Steve Novick with the idea that they would slap us with this gigantic tax. I really think that this is something that needs to be decided by the people. There are three things, really, I see are necessary to legitimize this. The first thing is I want to see a list of exactly what projects they're going to commit to. There may be projects that make absolute sense, that are absolutely needed. That makes sense. The second thing, I guess there are four things. The second thing is I want it to be sunsetted. I don't want it to last more than, let's say, arbitrarily 5 years. That's it. The third thing is I, of course, want a vote of the people on it. And the fourth thing, which I think is very, very, very important, is that we understand exactly how this money is going to be spent, not just how it's going to be spent on specific streets, but where all it's going to go and when all it's going to be limited. And a part of that fourth thing is, has anybody looked at the city budget and really seen where money might exist that could be transferred to this purpose? I personally think there's a lot of money, a lot of loose change out there, and it should be shaken out of the pockets of those people who are ruling us. I want to hear from you, 231-8187. Disagreeing with me would be more than welcome, because it's going to be a very one-sided conversation unless somebody advocating it comes in. I want to also stop for a moment and give you a couple announcements that are important. Today is Giving Tuesday, a day that inspires personal philanthropy and encourages a bigger, better, and smarter charitable giving during the holiday season, which is by its nature a good idea. KBOO is excited to participate, and we have a $5,000 match for new members and for current members that give more than they did last year for the month of December. So you can dump some money on us and there'll be a match up to $5,000. So if you have, if you gave, let's say, $60 last year and decide to give $100 today, it will be matched for the $40 increase. If you give monthly and give an additional one-time gift, that amount will be matched. If you increase your monthly donation amount, the increase will be matched. Please go to kboo.fm. /give to make your donation now. Thank you for your support and for supporting Giving Tuesday, and thank you for the Juan Young Trust Vernier Software, SSI Shredding Systems, and the Wendy Foundation for empowering KBOO with their matching contributions. Very cool for them. It's nice to see corporations putting up some bread. It's good. We will come back right away now to the question, should there be a street fee based on an income tax for individuals and corporations? Their properties will be taxed. Should this be done by the city council on a vote, which it looks like it's going to be 3-2, of the five-person city council? Amanda Fritz would be the swing vote. I don't envy her being in this position. Clearly, Steve Novick and Charlie Hales, the mayor, are supporting this thing, pushing this thing. We want to know what you think. The number to call, 231-8187. I want to be clear that two members of the council think it should go to a vote of the people. That's Nick Fish and Dan Salzman. And I want to be clear that I think it should be, if it's going to happen at all, it should be sunsetted. That is, it should last, let's say, 5 years, and then drop it. I want to hear from you. 231-8187. Thomas, you're on the air.
Yeah, good morning, Joe. I got to say, I think I'm, from what you said, I'm 100% in agreement with all of your points. And I think some of the other callers have really made a lot of interesting and relevant points. You know, it's interesting. All the issues of accountability. I mean, the other caller mentioned the Columbia Crossing debacle and so forth. And, you know, all the usual issues of where's the money going to go and how is it going to be spent? I mean, is this really going to be some program that's efficient and analogous to something like, you know, the government's Medicare program where, you know, only 3% goes to operating, you know, managing it, and the rest goes to, and the rest actually goes into what it's supposed to go. I doubt it. You know, it seems like there's just this one size fits all. We're gonna create these massive revenues from the people, and then we're gonna just, you know, we're gonna make payouts to end up benefiting a bunch of buddies and corporate chums. But you know, to think of it, I'd like to step outside the box with this a little bit. You know, how is it that not just Portland, but all cities all across the United States have shortfalls and have potholes in their streets and are torn up? And the reason is because of the collapse of the economy that happened in the last several years due to the mortgage fraud debacle. You know, all of the banks that essentially swindled the public, and now somehow the municipalities and the states have to scrape because there's no leadership on a federal level. So, you know, we have to kind of scrape our nickels and all of this upcharging and gouging of the public to pay for things. You know, if you look at North Dakota, who has a state bank, they didn't have any of these problems. They didn't have to go and start gouging people to get potholes fixed. And that's the real conversation, I think, that needs to happen. And indeed, it is gaining momentum in a number of states. But, you know, there's no reason why Oregon needs to continue to give tax handouts and tax breaks to these giant, you know, to Nike and the likes like that and many others. And then, you know, and then on the other hand, raise it, you know, shake it out of the hands of the already squeezed public. And then on top of it, then they take a lot of their money and do banking. You know, the state and the city does its banking through the same large corporate banking malefactors that were responsible for the mortgage fraud in the first place. And, you know, there's just this, like, complete lack of imagination, it seems to me, on the city level to step outside of the box, and indeed on the state level too, and really look at this. This is dead-end thinking. And I'm 100% with you. To not have a sunset on it, to not have any discussion, it's really reprehensible. We need to look out of the box on this. So I'm behind you with this.
Okay, I appreciate the call. I would suggest that people who are really concerned about this, first of all, call the city, find out if it is indeed on the agenda for tomorrow, and show up. Show up at city council and make your feelings known. And I feel that if they go ahead and do this without a sunset, if they go ahead and do this by a vote of 3-2 on the city council, or even if it were all five of them, I would hope deeply that we would have a petition to turn it out, to change it. I'm really concerned about this. This is a real alteration of the tax structure of the city to pay for something in which there's no list of exactly what it is they're going to be demanding us to pay for. It sounds to me like a potential for an enormous boondoggle, whatever the intent, legitimate or not, of Hales and Novick. I want to hear from you. If you disagree with me, you're more than welcome to call 231-8187. Edie.
Hi.
Hi.
I would like to say that one way we can spend less money is to hold police accountable so we don't spend millions of dollars for their defense and protection. And that's just one. And that if we have to have a constitutional due process for a vote, and we also have to look at what's been the redlining that has prevented the street protection and sidewalk and care for certain areas. And also, who are the people that cost us the most on the roads and doing the most damage versus those who are going to be asked to pay? And what is it that we really want to have of families living in the inner port, you know, in the Portland area, versus shooing out all those people that have the values that we care about Portland and the commitment. And those that do have the money are usually not those who pay, and those who are willing to pay for services are not getting the services and can have less and less ability to pay because we are not requiring policies that require them to do that. For example, giving out money for multi-billionaires for entertainment.
Okay. I appreciate your comments. And I pretty much agree with you.
And one way we can hold the police accountable to spend less money is to have like 3-inch white reflective ID on their chest, on their back, on the top of their shield, on their hat, 2-inch on their forearm, and 2-inch at their hip, and at their outside of their ankles, so that, and 4 inches from the end of the baton, so that when any baton, any foot, any hand, any back, front, head is involved in violence, we can know who it is. That can be Velcroed. If there's not if it's not shown, then they have no authority and they are arrested for impersonating a police officer.
Wow. you're sure you don't want neon on those names?
I do. White reflective.
Okay. The other thing I think that's important, as long as you brought that up, and by the way, next week I'm going to spend the whole show talking about police issues in Portland. I think that the cameras on the bodies of officers and in the police cars is a very, very good idea. I also like this device that's just been developed where every time an officer draws their gun, it automatically reports to the central command that the gun has been drawn. And every time it fires, the gun is fired, it automatically tells the central command that the weapon has been fired, which creates an immediate response of officers going to the scene. I really, really, really think that at this point, we really need to have more accountability by the police. But that's not the issue today. Today is taxation. But I do appreciate
but
your call.
But if we spend less money on that and they're not using the stolen guns that have no accountability, we can still reduce our costs and have more money for what we do need and not need to tax. But if we do tax, have a vote by the people.
Okay, thank you very much for the call.
Thank you.
Okay, we're talking about the proposed, I love the way they create language, the Portland Street Fund. It's not tax, it's a fund. You will pay an income tax. They will raise approximately $46 million a year. There is, as they proposed it, no sunset. That means $46 million a year from now until forever. And they're not going to have a vote of the people to create this tax. I am very, very annoyed with this. I want to know how you feel. If you disagree with me, please call 231-8187. I think the council may be voting on it tomorrow, and you might want to go down there and let them know what you think. Marianne, you're on the air.
Hi.
Hi.
I am going to propose my own sort of view on this.
Sure.
I don't agree with the tax per se, but I do feel that something needs to change in this city. We have a lot of really undeveloped streets. Mm-hmm. I live in Northeast Portland in the Coley neighborhood where
There's
not even sidewalks.
Yeah, I know. There's a lot of mud streets in this city.
Yeah, and you know, you imagine like trying to walk a baby in a stroller or something. I've seen people just walk on the street because there's no sidewalk. And it's supposed to be 25 here, but it's people go 40. There's a lot of work that needs to be done, but the responsibility shouldn't be on the people. I think, you know, we have to pay to, if we're homeowners, we have to pay to fix our own sidewalks in front of our home. You know, my grandma had to do that a long time ago, and I remember we wrote our names in it just to have our little claim, but It's like, you know, it should be on, maybe on landlords. It should be on landlords.
Well, of course, and you know, any money that a landlord has to pay out is passed on as rent.
Yeah, but it should be on corporations and landlords, just not heavily, but something. And if they're big corporate, you know, those big multiplexes that, you know, they don't build parking or something. I don't know. Maybe they should have some sort of accountability for that, that they can't put it onto the people. It's just getting crazy to rent here. I can't even hardly afford to live in my own city anymore. But that's neither here nor there. I just feel like there needs to be something. It's just not this.
Okay.
It's too high on the people. It should be a lot higher on corporations. And, you know, maybe if it's going to be on any people, it should be, yeah, the people that everybody's paying money to already. So that's just me.
Well, thank you. Thank you for your call and for your position on it. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Take care.
All right.
We're talking about the proposed, I love this language that they create, the Portland Street Fund. Yes. Well, what it basically is it's an income tax on you and you and you and you. Excluded from that tax are PERS, because I think it's against the law to tax PERS beyond what they do now, and Social Security. But everything else, if you're an older folk, the retirement monies you have will be taxed. All of our incomes will essentially be taxed other than those that I've listed. And there's no sunset. That means that they start the tax whenever they start it, and it goes on forever. And there's no list of exactly what they're going to do. I mean, I would want to know it street by street by street. And I want to know that it's all being used for the specific purpose of improving the streets and the safety of the people of Portland. None of that is there, as far as I can see. And it's basically a plan by Charlie Hales and Steve Novick, who are, you know, okay, but this is really weird. The swing vote on this one comes down to Amanda Fritz, and it's going to be a very, very interesting city council meeting, especially if folks like you show up to make your opinions known. You should call city and see whether or not they're doing anything that's going to happen tomorrow. My understanding is they are. But beyond that, I really think you should let the city council members know your opinion. 231-8187, want to hear from you. Charlotte, you're on the air.
There already has been one hearing at the city council where a lot of people voiced their opinions, and it's my understanding that the plan was to actually have a vote tomorrow, so it's not open for hearing people's voice tomorrow. So if anyone is interested in adding their voice to the conversation, today's the day to make phone calls to city council.
Okay.
Or maybe tomorrow before. I'm not sure what time the council hearing starts. I just want to say a couple of things. I totally agree with a lot of these main issues that have been raised. It makes sense to me, given how the difficulties of the transportation system, to maybe have some kind of a fee. But I do think it should be voted, especially when it's an income tax, it should be voted on. Any kind of additional thing besides the taxes we pay for the Bureau of Transportation, whose job it has been forever to maintain the streets, to create a safe transportation system for pedestrians as well as for cars. That's been their job all this time. So if we really need extra help, we can have a discussion about and possibly have a sunsetted extra additional money, but I think it should be paid for. Voted for by the people. The main reason that I called was to just clarify the little bit of understanding I have about the payment of the, whether it's an income tax or fee and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not real clear about it all, but it's an income tax where people, and I have no idea of the details of this because a lot of them are not out there. This is a quickly thrown together and changed and changed and changed, proposal. And I read in the Tribune that they were having a hard time finding the details, but poor people do not need to pay the tax. It is an income tax. It would be the first time that the city has instituted this kind of an income tax ever, and with no vote of the people. And I go along with Sandy's question. I know that for the state, The state cannot do it. I'm not clear about the city. They can't. There can be no income tax without a vote of the people, and I don't think there should be in the city either. With the income tax, there's a cap on, according to this current proposal, of $75 a month, depending on what your income is. I don't know what I would have to pay because I don't know the details of it, because I'm not sure that those are clear yet either. But $75 a month is quite a bit of money for a year. And if people, that's the higher income, so mine would be somewhat lower. But even so, it would still be quite a bit of money for a year if you have to be paying a certain amount every month. And absolutely, you know, and then there's this business tax, which is done in a whole other way, which there are questions about the equity and the fairness of how it's done and how it's done in relation to the wear and tear on the roads and stuff. So to me, this seems like a very, like, not a correct process, not actually worked out well. And it should be worked out well. The details should be there so we know what we're voting for. We should be voting for it, and it should be sunsetted one way or another. And it should not be sunsetted so that the city council now passes something that they can then pass again without our vote or our input. It should be a more public process and approved process.
Okay, well, thank you very much for the call.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Okay. I want to emphasize something here. $75 a month, I'm calculating it. What is that, $900 a year? That's a chunk of change. And I also want to, it's a significant percentage, for example, of your property tax. I just want to emphasize that this is very sloppy. The access to the information specifically is not available. And newspapers have tried to get a clear idea of it and are having trouble with it. It's being rushed through. It's being done by the council. There's no sunset clause. There's no limit to when it ends. And, of course, as the previous caller pointed out, even with a sunset, there's no guarantee that the council won't just flip and revive it again. I think it should be a vote of the people. I think it should be very specific. I think it should be well, much better thought out. And I really, really think it should not be based on a vote of three members of a five-member city council. This is bad governance, and I am very, very, very concerned about it. And I think whether or not they're going to let you talk, you ought to show up with a sign at city council if that's what they're going to be voting on tomorrow. And even if they're not, might as well show up. Hey, it's always fun down there at the old city hall. All right, want to hear from you. 231-8187. Michael, you're on the air.
Yes, I just like to say absolutely there should be a vote on this tax. We have plenty of taxes in this city. We've had taxes that went toward road maintenance. And if we had a vote, in order to be an informed voter, I'd need to know how much money has the city collected using those other taxing methods over, the last 5 years. And I'd like an accounting on how the money's been spent. Has it been spent on road maintenance, or has it been spent on other projects? I'm not against other projects. I'd just like to know specifically when we're paying how much money for them. You can't make a value judgment without knowing that. So,
no, you're absolutely right on that.
So that's really all I have to say. I'd really like, I don't know where to get the information, or perhaps I could get it now, but I think that if the city really wants us to be informed and help make a good decision, we'd need to know that information.
Well, I also think we shouldn't be rushing to a decision on this. This seems awfully fast for me. And I also think that inevitably what's going to happen is there's going to be a second guessing by a petition drive. And that will, I don't know, most people are going to vote against the tax given the choice. All right, thank you very much for the call. Number to call is 231-8187. If you disagree with me, and my position is, number one, we need a full accounting of exactly where the money will be spent and how. Real roads, real sidewalks in real neighborhoods, or what? That's number one. Number two, we really, really, really need to have a limit, a sunsetting of this money. It's $46 million a year and forever. And third, I actually think that this is something that should have a vote of the people. This is a very serious change in the tax structure and a change in the cost of living for everyone who pays taxes in Portland, including the businesses, by the way. I want to hear from you. 231-8187. Marianne.
Yes, I finally got on. I do have an opposing point of view.
Good.
So, and it took me a long time to get through. It's very
well, that's because there's so many calling. Go ahead.
I know. So, although I do agree with you about that it should be sunsetted. I agree about that. And by the way, if you want to know what projects are slated to be funded by this, you can get it from the Portland Bureau of Transportation. They've got a list of projects they've been wanting to fund for years. So that's not a problem. I mean, sometimes it takes a little, you know, effort to research this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, all of our tax money should be, you know, how it's spent is public information. So, you know, I'm sure there's a way of getting that from the city of Portland as far as past expenditures are concerned. Now, I'm not sure. I don't know what this tax is. It started out being a tax on, like, a building, you know, and vary depending on whether you're in an apartment or a single-family house. I know it's been through some iterations, so I don't know where it's at right now.
Well, it's actually an income tax for individuals right now.
It is, okay, so I don't know the details, but I would hope that it's a different percentage depending on your income. Is it a flat percentage?
It's a percentage based on your income. It's an income tax, just like the federal or state income tax.
Okay. Is it fixed percentage?
I am not clear, but I believe it's a fixed percentage.
Okay, but it's not a fixed dollar amount. It's
no.
Not like one of the callers thought it was a fixed dollar amount.
No. It's based on your income. It's a sliding fee.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, when you say it's rushed, I mean, this should have been addressed 5 or 10 years ago. I mean, there's been just tremendous backlog of projects that need to be done, and mm-hmm. tax revenues have been falling with all the anti-tax, you know, starting with, I guess it was Measure 5 in Oregon,
mm-hmm.
it was Prop 13 in California, I think. So, you know, they can't raise the property taxes. It's the main income source for any municipal government. So they've got to find another source. This isn't perfect. You're not going to get perfection when you're dealing with human beings. And they did have a lot of town hall meetings about this. I don't know if you went to any of those. I did go to one. And the one I went to, there was a certain amount of hysteria, but there was also some creative suggestions, which I was a little disappointed they didn't take into consideration. There was a suggestion by somebody to increase the tax on alcohol because that causes a lot of traffic accidents. So, you know, it's not perfect. It's a starting point. I do agree that it should be sunsetted. And as far as putting it to the vote of the people, I suppose it will be. But there's so much anti-tax hysteria everywhere now that I suspect it's going to be defeated. And then what are we going to do? I mean, we do need something.
Well, it's interesting because on the national level, with the present crazy Congress we have, you know, it's right now interest rates are low, which means building infrastructure, roads, high-speed rail, all that stuff, it's the time to do it because the money necessary for it will cost very little. Mm-hmm. And that's just being ignored. We are the only modern industrial state that hasn't kept up its infrastructure. And that's going to cost us down the road and now huge amounts, billions and billions of dollars. And that is really a federal issue. So what has happened is it's been shifted as a burden onto municipalities and states. And this is what this is. But
Correct. But
like I say, I really think it should be sunsetted. I really think that there should be more clear information about exactly where the money's going to go. I would like a guarantee that it's really going to go for sidewalks and streets and signals and so on. And I really think it should be have a limit. It should be maybe 5 years, no more than that. But I really appreciate your call, and you made some good points. Thank you.
Yeah, I will try to get you a list if you're interested on what the projects are.
That would be cool.
I will do that.
I would appreciate that.
Thanks, Joe.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, bye.
Bye-bye. 231-8187. We got a little bit of time left. We're talking about the proposed, I love this language, I can't get over it, the Portland Street Fund. And this is an unending tax, so estimated $46 million a year from the pockets of businesses and you, the citizens, as an income tax in the case of citizens. And this would be used for, and as the caller suggests, there is a list of projects. I have not seen the list. I know several reporters who said they've had trouble figuring out exactly how the money would be spent. We've been told that 51% would go to streets and sidewalks and signals, but where's the other part go? But even that is not clear. So I'm very concerned. I'm urging you to go down, whether or not you get to speak to city council tomorrow and carry a sign, maybe make sure you ask for decent representation. You know, having a city council of five elected at large and then three of them able to pass such a tax, that's kind of weird to me. And I feel very sorry for Amanda Fritz, who's caught in the middle, because she's probably the swing vote on this one. It really bothers me. It really bothers me on a number of levels. And I don't like the idea that it goes on forever. And I want to know, maybe I'm wrong. I want to hear from you. 231-8187. Elliot, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm a transplanted New Yorker to liberal Portland. And ever since the arts tax passed, I've developed the impression that people out here don't seem to understand the American Revolution and the basic concept of no taxation without representation. The streets do need to be maintained, and dirt roads on the east side do need to be paved. But the standard model in the United States is that you have a legislature. It passes income taxes and property taxes. It votes for appropriations if you need increased expenditures, and votes also for increased taxes, and the voters decide whether they'll tolerate that. If the pattern continues here, people will be receiving 15 different tax bills in the mail every year, you know, eventually threatening them that there'll be high penalties if they don't send their money in and they're in default. It doesn't make any sense. Sometimes in the East, a measure is put on the ballot for a bond issue to borrow the money, which is later repaid through increased taxes. But the idea of proliferating separate taxes for separate city projects almost to infinity is extremely weird and goes against the principle of the American Revolution.
Okay. I appreciate your comment. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Yeah, take care. All right, 231-8187. So far, I've not heard any real clear support for the measure. There are people saying, well, you know, we need this done to be done. And, you know, there is a list. And then the questions that I have, and I still have not had them answered by any of you, and I don't know that the city is ready to answer them, is why isn't it sunsetted? That is, why doesn't it last, let's say, 5 years and then ended? $46 million, that's a bunch of bucks. And more perhaps relevant, this is a big measure. Why is it not being submitted to the public? How is it that these five people, specifically two in this case, the mayor and Steve Novick, are so wise that they can represent us in a measure that is going to really impact the lives of people? Now, to be fair, this measure will not cost money for very poor people. This measure is an income tax, which means it'll be based on what you can afford. It will not include, as I understand it, PERS retirement monies, and it will not include Social Security monies. So, you know, just to be clear. Well, we're running out of time. We got one more caller. Barbara, you're on the air.
Hello. I would agree that this should be voted on by the people on. The most startling fact is that it's an income tax. To me, that's the big scary part, because, as they say, how many times are they going to go back to the trough? My property taxes in Southeast went up 25% this year.
Wow.
Yeah. from 24 to over 3,000. And I'm, you know, I'm a native Portland person. I'm 60 years old. I own my house, but I could be priced out of my house.
I have to cut you off because we're really out of time.
Thank you.
I appreciate your call very much. And I urge everybody to stay tuned to KBOO. We take on the issues that others shy away from, and we have the best in music programming as well. You want to listen to us, and you want to stay tuned. Thank you very much for your time.
It's real, but it ain't exactly there. From the war against disorder, from the sirens night and day, from the fires of the homeless, from the ashes of the gay, democracy is coming to the USA.
We are happy to announce a 7-hour special edition of the Grateful Dead and Friends starting at noon on Saturday, December 6th. We'll have live music from local artists Scott Law, Louis Longmire, Scott Pemberton Trio, and closing things out with the Garcia Birthday Band. Tune in and tell your friends to listen and become a member of KBOO Community Radio. The Grateful Dead and Friends special Saturday, December 6th. From noon to 7 p.m.
And good morning. It's half a minute past 9 a.m. You do have it tuned to KBOO Portland, and coming right up is Alternative Radio. Today, Josh Gubner of the U.S. Campaign to End the Israeli Occupation speaks on Shattered Peace, Israel-Palestine. At 10, Air Cascadia is off today. We'll hear Flashpoints, featuring an interview with Lynn Washington Jr. on the misconduct of Ferguson prosecutor Robert McCullough, and an interview with Phyllis Bennis on the growing power of Islamic State in the Middle East. At 11 on stage and studio, guest host Sarika Mehta features three dancers from the Oregon Ballet Theater who will be performing the Nutcracker this month. And at 11:30, metal artist Greg Wilbur, mixed media artist Keeney Rathbun, and multimedia artist Lisa Kaser talk about the art of the alphabet at the Waterstone Gallery. And today, be a part of Giving Tuesday. This is a day that inspires personal philanthropy and encourages bigger